Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone, I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. We thank you for being here, and we've got a guest chef in the house. Mr. Reginald is with us, Reginald Wesley. Woo! Wesley, hey, how do you want to say hello, and who are you, and how are you going to be contributing to this conversation?
Hello, everyone. My name is Reginald Wesley of Mystic Hearts Healing, and I'm here with these two wonderful ladies to discuss the heart of the matter.
That's right.
I love it.
He is the king of the heart of the matter. He is Majestic Heart, the king of Majestic Heart.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk just a couple seconds to give people who don't know you and kind of how that's going to be bringing in the conversation here as we're talking about five invitations, discovering what death can teach us about living fully. It's just really coming from this Majestic Heart place and how you've been able to assist people with being able to embrace that in a new way.
Well, I'm a spiritual healer, and what I try to do is bring people back to their hearts to assist them with, you know, any obstacles that's keeping them from being in the present place of who they are and what that may entail. And coming back to the heart of the matter of how we can represent each other and be present and kind and loving, and even with the situations that we're dealing with and what that looks like for each individual is such a different journey. For myself, just embracing the heart pain and identifying it and giving it space to just be heard and be seen without trying to push it away.
Beautiful, man.
Gentle.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Gentle.
Well,
work.
And today
gentle
is perfect.
Sure.
You know, we're doing the five invitations, and we had set up to have you be on with us because we love you so much and we love your work and it's so important and now, but it always has been, but even more it's obvious now. And we look like we're really brilliant, but it just kind of happened this way that what we're talking about today is the invitation one. We're finishing that with section three, which is about hope, and section four, which is the matter of heart. And we're so honored to have you with us and that you're going to be doing our mindset moment, doing a Majestic Heart moment for us. So thank you so much for coming on. And, of course, you're welcome to come have a seat at the table whenever it works for you.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Love to.
So pull first up that one chair and say no.
That's right, exactly. So we always love to have a guest chef. We have to be careful, no food fights unless I start them. That's the rule.
Well, I've heard you start a few of those fights, so
I'm
more than happy to be in one of those.
Flinging it.
You know I have.
Flinging it. Look out. Look out.
All right.
Flinging it.
So Miss Alana, we adore her, and she's definitely part of the table, and she has not been feeling well and was really nervous that she might have had COVID, so she went and had a test today and is negative. Woohoo! So we honor her, and yeah, and it's so interesting, isn't it, when you have a cough or you don't feel well, all these things that go into your head, which makes sense under today's environment, but it really challenges us to stay hopeful, right, and to stay,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
centered, and to go do, and she did what she needed to do, and she's taking care of herself, and so we honor her for that, and we're grateful that she's at the table, even though we don't hear her tonight, she's still at the table. So one of the things that she's helped us do is create these wonderful segments. And so, Robin, you're going to do the flower wisdom segment tonight on?
We're going to be talking about the daisy and with the flower power wisdom that we have going on. And when we were talking yesterday about, we always get together on Monday morning and say, you know, let's kind of just sit with what we're going to be talking about for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And with the mature hope and the heart of the matter, automatically the yellow daisy with that yellow or orange center was just, you know, wanted to come in and talk about how daisies are so amazing, because really most people think of it as just one flower, when actually it's a multitude of flowers, because the petals on the outside are holding the disc for the florals, and then the ray, which is that center orange area, is just busting with all kinds of flowers that are in the center of that, waiting to have their turn to be able to propagate themselves and get them out into the world. And when I see a daisy, it's just working with duality. It's working with, say, imagine a plus sign that would be laid over a daisy, and then it starts moving and spiraling its energy. So it's all about activations and transformations and moving everything. And that centered area is the core of, you know, think of the creator, think about source, think about the beautiful way that in even in the orange, if you're familiar with the chakras, it goes into our second chakra with that orange energy of creation, and be able to bring things into the world. And it's just so important that we really just be embracing all the flowers right now in a way. If something speaks to you, we've been saying in the last few shows, bring that to you, and, you know, you can write a little bit about it, think a little bit about it, see how it feels for you, and just realize that there's so much more there than they can truly know by just being able to look at that. So with daisies, there are over 20,000 different species of daisies.
Wow.
And, you know, you think of we think of daisies, it's actually just that the English daisy that we think of when you think of a daisy. But it's actually if you looked at all the different countries in the world, it makes up 10% of every flower on the planet, all over the world. So it really gathers and just shows us how we can be, and I think that's a really important point that Spirit brought that to me, because it's just everybody tuning into the show, they're the daisies. They're the ones that are basically keeping it. It's interesting that a daisy actually means day's eye. So keeping an eye on what's happening in a bigger way, and it really it's also about the fact that a daisy will open itself up during the day, and it will close itself at night to be able to rest. And so there's that natural rhythms of life that are happening. There's a natural way of being able to look at things. So if you resonate with daisies, and I love daisies, they're one of my favorites. I kind of feel like I'm cheating when I talk about all the different flowers that are my favorites, because it's kind of like your kids, you know. Am I your favorite, Mom? And I'm like, yeah. But I really do. I love daisies because they just seem to be so simple, but yet they're so profound and so prolific. So if you really resonate with a daisy, take a little bit of a deeper look of what that can look like, and know that we're making big differences because it literally is something that's impacting the world in a really big way.
And that's really fascinating to me, because, you know, you say daisy, people think of, you know, maybe one or two, right? And to say there's 20,000, wow, that's really amazing. That's so cool from the perspective of, you know, you've tried to say, oh, you're a daisy, or you're a this, or you're a that, and people label us. When you think there's so many different, you know, ways that can manifest. So that's really lovely,
yeah.
Robin. I really appreciate that. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
Well, I just love the cycle of that, how it opens in the daytime and closes at night to allow myself to, be present back in the morning to receive all that light that is brought up to them, and to bring the sunshine to people around me.
Exactly.
You know,
and
when I think of daisies, I just, they make me smile. And one thing I love about daisies is they last a long time when you bring them home.
Yeah, a lot of longevity, and that's something that they carry. It's no wonder that, you know, they're 10% of pretty much all the plant, you know, flowers and plants on the planet, just for the fact that they do have longevity.
So let's kick off Daisy a day, I like it. So, send a daisy to somebody you love and make them smile. Then you're my favorite. They don't need to.
Well,
you're my favorite.
Calling you ladies definitely some daisies, that's for sure.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm going to take them.
So let's dive into hope, shall we? So at the very beginning of this section, the quote, they attribute it to Emily Dickinson, is hope inspires the good to reveal itself. And it's like, I think there's that dance between being hopeful in a realistic way and in a overly optimistic way, and finding that balance. And I have to say, you know, I've studied hope a lot, and this section is one of the best write-ups about hope that I've ever experienced. And so we have a short time today to talk about it. So what I would like to do, I propose, is at some point that we do a whole show just on hope. But we'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything? And I know, Reginald, you don't have the chapter, but so we'll just kind of throw things in, and then you can just, you know, however you feel called to talk about it. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was they talk about the hospitals and how that tends to be a place where not happy things are happening. Not, you know, they're usually you're going to the hospital, it's not a good thing. But they talked about this particular hospital that when a baby was born, that they would play Brahms' Lullaby to every room in the hospital. And everybody knew that a birth had just happened. Because they said, you know, hospitals tend to be magnets for suffering, but the Brahms' Lullaby was a salve, a joyful reminder of the potential for new life that exists in every moment. If you remember this, Robin, I used to work with Lisa Lynn at the City of Hope. She's a world-renowned Celtic harpist. And we did a lot of work with music and healing. And she created a CD of lullabies. And Kaiser Permanente, which your husband works for, has in every one of their hospitals has her music. And when a baby is born, they play it.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really neat. That's really neat.
And, you know, I hadn't listened to Brahms' Lullaby for a long time, so when I was reading this, I actually played it. And, my gosh, it's one thing that, you know, they were talking about how it just really helps to reset yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be something that can be a comfort for people, because music is so powerful, to find some music that really resonates with you that can help you give a sense of just kind of a stillness and quietness for yourself. That you can have. I think that's a great idea.
You know,
and for me, I can't. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead,
sorry.
Reginald.
Thing about how people, you know, when we go to the hospital, we're really not finding that it's not a place for hope.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of someplace the exact opposite. It's the one place you do go for hope, because it's when you surrender that good news. Hopeful for this is going to have a good turnout. When you go there to speak to a doctor or nurse, you're looking for the answers that you're seeking, and before you even speak to them, you're set into that press of, I hope I get good news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I did a lot of work at the City of Hope, and the City of Hope is where cancer patients tend to go when they've exhausted everything else. And so for us, it was about how do you stay hopeful, right, no matter what the circumstances say. And I think that's a really good point, Reginald, that it is about, you know, and I think hope, to me it's like an eternal flame, and that it's with you all, you know, it's with you all the time if you choose to tap into it. Oh, there we go.
See, there we go. We got hope.
We've got hope. So it can be as simple as that, and I know music really drives you.
Mm-hmm.
And being able,
yeah,
right, and able to find a way.
So nice.
So that means a baby's being born, even as we speak.
Thank you.
Yay!
Well, I know, Reginald, you just had a rebirth. So how about that was for you.
Thank you so much. I was thinking, I'm like, okay, you're trying to give me that signal again.
Yeah, there you go, man. So there you go. What a great way to help you remember, right, that we're being rebirthed. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, say, on page 44, they talk about Reverend Tutu. And we did a whole podcast series about the book, the Gift of Joy. Is that what it is, Robin? What is it? The
Book of Joy.
The Book of Joy with the Dalai Lama and Reverend Tutu. And he says here, hope is being able to see that there is a light despite all the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting, too, like right after that, it says that experts differ on whether hope is an emotion, a belief, or a conscious choice, or all three.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really good point to kind of explore that for yourself about, you know, where, how do you feel hope is for you?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good exercise to take some, to really play with what's hope and what does that mean to you. And I used to do a lot of work with youth at risk, and the most important thing I believe I did was instill hope in them. You can teach people things, right? But if they're not hopeful, what is the point? You know, I think people don't take action if they don't have hope. And I think that's an important thing to, you know, when I'm supporting somebody else, what is their hope level? And number one, when you're supporting anybody else, you got to, what is my hope level first, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you might want to work on that. Because, you know, if your hope level is not that high, you may not be able to really help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it goes on to talk about how there's this really interesting dynamic of hope versus expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we label something with expectation, wanting to say that it's hope, but it's actually us putting how we would want something to be, as opposed to really looking at something, the words we're going to be moving into, we're talking about mature hope. So anything with that you want to talk about, Anne?
Yeah, I think I like to call myself an optimistic critical thinker. And I like to think they have, you know, more hope than cynicism, right? Because I think hope is motivating and it's inspiring. I mean, certainly you want to look at the facts. You want to say, yeah, this kind of is, you know, irritating right now, or things that are happening I'm not happy about. But how do I tap into joy and find a way to improve what's going on in my life or supporting others? So it is. I think it's a slippery slope to be. I think too hopeful in a non-connected way is not healthy, because I think that can set you up. And also being, you know, cynicism about everything also puts you on that other side. Anything about that, Reginald?
Oh yes. So.
I love that. Oh yes.
Here we go.
Speaking for myself, hope is all I got.
Oh, wow.
When we're dealing with life, we tend to have judgments and beliefs of what we project to want to have. And for me personally, hope gives me the right to surrender that my ideals and beliefs are what needs to come to happen, but to receive what is given to me.
Mm. Beautiful.
And at this point in my life, I start every day with just being hopeful that whatever needs to happen this day is what I will receive, hopeful for what I say to someone is what they need to hear, hopeful this being is at the right time, and just surrendering that, because sometimes we're just guided to do things we just really don't understand.
Most of the time, right? You know, if you're really paying attention.
Yeah, and so when you're not connected with that hope, who are you really serving? Who are you helping out?
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely not helping out yourself.
Beautiful.
That's good.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's open. It's really important that we just really seek to be in a place of more moving into a place of openness and open to an outcome, not attached to an outcome, and open to being non-attached and being able to recover the human resources of wisdom and objectivity. And I just really love that. And it reminded me of when they talked about non-attachment when I was learning how to do Japanese floral design, Ikebana. My instructor continually gave me the same resources to what she'd have me make something, and I had to take it apart and make something else and pick it apart and make something else. And from Western perspective, I was like, why would I take something apart that
I've already done.
Great.
I finished already.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm moving on to something else. And she's like, take it apart and do it again. And it really is such a great way of being able to say, and now what else can it be? And now what else can we do? So it helps you to be in this place of just a constant place of being curious and being open and not attached to the fact that I used it for this, but now I can, you know, I love the fact that we're just repurposing so much. It's really helping people to just think out of the box, literally, depending on what they're doing and how they're doing things now. And I think that's one thing that I've appreciated about COVID, because it's really helped us to be in a place of being able to switch really quickly. I'm amazed at some of the ways that people are being so inventive in ways being able to help people. When, you know, there seems to be a roadblock one place, we're just going to go a different direction and, you know, take it on in a new way.
May I share a quote that I think hope is about?
Sure.
So I heard this in a song, but I didn't know that this quote. I happened to find this quote after I was really moved many years ago, and I used it in a dedication to my workaholic's guide to resilience at work. And it's, I believe in the sun when it's not shining, and I believe in love even when I'm not feeling it. I believe in God even when he is silent. And that comes from a wall in the cellar in Cologne where a number of Jews hid for the entire duration of World War II.
Wow.
I know, right? Didn't it give you chills?
Good job.
I'd like to add to that.
Absolutely.
You know, for all of us, I believe to believe in yourself even when it appears you are not successful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Let's take a breath on that.
mm-hmm.
So I believe that. Hope. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think hope is the way to start your day. I believe it's something we need to tap into. And our dear joy agent, Robin, I think, you know, with her giggle and attitude really helps us to stay in that hopeful place. So I honor you for that, Miss Robin.
Thank you.
Would you be willing to read the quote at the beginning of The Heart of the Matter?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it says, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. And that was from Martin Luther King Jr. And we've always have conversations about people saying, gosh, you're so happy. You're so joyful. You always look at the positive perspective. And I always tell them, I work at it every day.
Amen.
It's something that's a practice, and it's something that I choose to do. Because you can totally, you know, go a different direction. But when you're, you know, you keep your eyes on the prize. And the prize for me is joy. So there you go. Anyway. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of, you know, we've done a couple shows ago where we were talking about, you know, what's the book that we would have written about us. And I just got real quiet and Spirit spoke to me and just said, joy is my compass.
Mm. I'd agree with that.
So, you know, it's like asking God, asking Creator, help joy to be my compass. Show me what that is, and to redirect me whenever I need to be redirected. I just love
that.
And
I think that's,
let's talk about the heart of the matter.
And with that quote, I know Reginald on Tuesdays and Thursdays has a majestic heart moment that he does on Facebook Live, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 o'clock Pacific, and it's well worth your time. And today you talked about forgiveness, and you're going to do it however you will end up, and I'm not saying you need to do that at our mindset moment, but it was really lovely, and I honor you for that, and thank you for that. How important is that work, being hopeful, being forgiving of self and forgiving of others. Big, big, big. And in here, just kind of we'll dive into a little bit again. This is another, every one of these sections we could definitely spend, you know, lots and lots of time with. But I want to get things postured and set up time for you to do your moment for us, Reginald. But one of the things that they talk about here about love, and they were kind of, and this section, this, the whole four parts is called Don't Wait. And Alana said, you know, it's really engage. And I love that so much better, because don't wait kind of seems you're sitting around. What? Don't wait. But engage means really lean in, really be present, really be hopeful, really step into love. And they talk about that love is what allows us to let go. You can't love and cling on at the same time. Too often we mistake attachment for love. Love that. He said love is selfless. Attachment is self-centered. Love is freeing. Attachment is possessive. When we love, we relax. We don't hold on tightly, and we naturally let go more easily. You know, and I think traditionally, right, when you think of love and ego, it's like, no, it's mine, and you can't have it.
You can have mine, Amy.
Oh, I accept. And what I adore our relationship because it is free flowing, and it is like we were talking about with Hope. You and I can talk about whatever needs to be talked about, but I hope you feel this. I feel this that we're both safe, and that there is always love between us, no matter what we need to be working on or talking about. And, man, if that doesn't make the world so much easier and a better place to be, I don't know what does.
Amen to that.
So, Ms. Robin, was there anything
particular? This is, is between you and Robin, this love flow that you two have going and the chemistry of that love, it really resonates through your podcast. And the ability that you two share that with everyone just helps them to just feel that. Feel that love that maybe they couldn't feel throughout that day. I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you. That means the world to me. And I'm really blessed to have a soul sister that actually is a blood sister.
Mm-hmm. God knew what he was doing. He's a smart cookie. Yes, she is.
So I want to go back to forgiveness a minute, Robin.
So we started
with forgiveness.
So a couple of things that were in the chapter before we go to the exercise, that I thought were just really powerful, is Frank says, forgiveness is a fierce practice. It takes real strength and a willingness to be with what is difficult. It asks us to face our demons, and it requires absolute honesty. And then don't wait until you find yourself on a deathbed to begin the process of forgiving those who have hurt you and those who have wronged. Allow the fragile nature of life to show you what's most important, and then take action. It hurts too much to keep others and ourselves out of our hearts.
And that's one thing I love about Buddhist practice. They say no matter what, keep people in your heart. That doesn't mean you talk to them. That doesn't mean that you have to let them get close enough to hurt you. But if you don't have people in your heart, you're going to hurt them. You're going to do something that you're going to regret, whether you believe you're going to regret it or not. And before we go launch our dear Reginald here, on page 66, I love how he says, about starting to work on something, to work on forgiveness. He says, when you go to the gym, don't pick up the 500-pound weight. Start with the 20-pound weight. Forgiveness starts with slight movements. And so I think it really is about, doing small things on a regular basis to forgive yourself and others instead of I'm going to forgive the biggest, awfulest thing that ever happened to me today. That sounds good on paper, but it's a little more challenging.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. What about Bob? Okay, that's your homework assignment. Go watch the movie, What About Bob? Baby steps.
What about Bob?
What about Bob?
I'm sailing. Okay, now.
All right. Shall we get our dear majestic heart friend working on doing his job here?
Mm-hmm. Sounds wonderful.
So, first off, I want to tell our listeners, that I am so honored that you're here with us, as I know Robin is, and that you and I have been friends for a couple of years. It feels like we never didn't know each other. And I'm really honored to have you share your genius, your gift with us. Without further ado, we're going to have our mindset moment is the majestic heart movement. Take it away, however best works for you, my friend.
So, I want everybody to take a breath from your nose and then out your mouth. And do another breath through your nose and out your mouth. And I want you to think about a situation today where things just did not go right. It may have been a conversation, may have been an action. Just whatever comes to your mind. Notice where you feel that at in your body. Notice if it's a sound that you're hearing. Notice if there's a message there for you about being loved at that moment. Not judging the actions or the sounds or how it feels, but know that you were loved at that particular moment. You were given a gift of hope. Notice if it changed something in you. Notice if it brought some awareness that you didn't have before. Give it gratitude. Give it grace. Realize at that moment you were loved. Love to see something different that you weren't able to see before or to feel before. And in its own way, it brought you some hope of understanding your own heart and what it was wanting, what it was needing to express itself. Allow yourself to be present with this moment. Allow yourself to be happy with this moment. And give grace and gratitude for this opportunity that was presented to you when you really didn't know that you were given hope with love. Now take a breath. Allow that to just marinate into your body, into your soul. And I thank you for having a majestic heart moment with me.
Oh, I love that.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, Reginald. That was awesome. And it's just so sad. So gentle with ourselves. Yeah, I just love that.
So probably part of this is because Reginald's part of this was during that process. I kept hearing, "Let it go, Mr. Singer."
I don't
have make me sing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, one
Reginald,
of the things I love about Reginald, because we know that there's always a song on the way whenever he's here, because he's, you know, he's already doing soundtracks for us. So there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Music is a way to life if you allow it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's usually in those moments that you hear that song. Stop for a second. That song means something to you.
Mm-hmm.
It means so much.
That's for
so
sure.
Much change the course of how you're perceiving something or what you're actually needing at that time. Music is always blaring in my head, whether it's classical music or hip hop, rock and roll. Soul, jazz. It's always something going on, and Amy just gets a kick out of it because we'll have a conversation.
I love it. So I'm thinking, you know, one of your books needs to be the soundtrack of life. We'll start on
it's
that.
It's a spiritual
tomorrow.
Book. It's a spiritual book. Exactly.
It's a spiritual
book.
Spiritual book.
Yeah.
Spiritual
book.
It is.
I would love
it
that.
It is.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. I really want to encourage everybody.
Much more hopeful.
Yes. Yes. More helpful. And get the 5 invitations and go over to our Facebook page, which is Transformation Cafe. We also have our community page. Love for any comments, ideas. You know, let us know how you love Reginald, you know, his moment with us. And if anything resonated with you with some of the ideas with hope and also with just being to the heart of the matter. So we want to thank you both. Thank you, Reginald. We're going to have you back.
That's right.
I love you. Before we go on.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining
us. Bye. Go have dinner.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.